Hi, I'm the Tale Weaver Omar, and DM here at A Tale of D20s Network.
Hi, I'm Zektown, and I am the DM here at A Tale of D20s Network.
Zek, you know I am the dungeon master for the drama-fueled, anime-inspired fantasy epic Descent into the Void, right?
Yes, but Omar, you know I am the dungeon master for the comedy-riddled, trope-smashing fantasy epic The Natural Ones.
I guess both of them are perfect shows for a tabletop podcasting network.
It's a good thing that people can find us at atale of d20s.com then.
Yeah. You can also find us on Twitter at atale of d20s. That's at ATALEOFD20S. atale of d20s.
And you can find each show on Twitter at the Nat Ones Cast at THENAT1SCAST, the Nat Ones Cast, or Descent Void at DESCENTVOID, Descent Void on Twitter.
So, if you want thrilling drama,
or a side splitting comedy, A Tale of D20s has you covered.
Greetings, Dungeon Delvers, and welcome to yet another exciting chapter of Theros, Gods and Glory, where friends join together to tell a story of epic proportion. So, without further ado, let's remove the bookmark and start our epic tale. Today, for Theros, we have just family. So, to introduce once again, say hello to Zeki, who joins us today playing a new character in Theros. Say hello, Zek.
Hey, everybody, it's Zektown, and today I'll be playing Greco Trojanov.
Awesome. We have Travis, you know him as Harlequin on Descent into the Void, so give a big shout out to Travis.
Hello everyone, today I'll be playing Evander.
And you know him as Horatio Dullarian Kane on Descent into the Void, but let's give a warm shout out to Lewis.
Hello everyone, I will be playing Luca today.
Awesome, and I'm your Tale Weaver Omar, so with that, let's get our story of Theros started. Theros, a mighty and magical plane full of wonders and desires, where the very thoughts of the mortals form into extraplanar beings known as the gods that reside in the plane of Nyx high up above. When last we had followed our heroes, they had ventured off to free the sun that had been captive on a quest for Heliod and Crufix. They had completed it, returning the star to the sky, thus receiving the blessings of the two gods. And during this session, our heroes will be blessed with an additional D4 to all fire damage due to the blessing of Heliod, and +1 to all initiative rolls from the passers of time to the god Crufix. Our story today starts off in a glorious, beautiful morning. The light of Heliod shines down onto Camp Bellerophon once again. It is a hot summer day, and a warm breeze with the smell of honeydew and roses and other delectable flora breezes throughout the air. Inside one three-story temple, although bright outside in juxtaposition inside is dark, where the followers of Fenix roam about, The sound of laughter and revelry could be heard into the distance as the rolling of dice and the tossing of coin pings throughout the many halls. Inside of his room, a Leonin rests within his bed as a pinging can be heard within Luca's ears.
Oh, heroes. This thing on? Yeah, this works. Heroes. Hi. Yeah, this is Odious, the great augur from the Oracle Mountain. I come bearing a new prophecy. Please, if you can hear this, head up north, high up to the Mountain of the Oracles, where I can give you a special treat. Now, hurry along now. Time is of the essence. Bye-bye.
As Luca, you are awoken from your nap or your training, what you normally would be doing in the morning, as hearing this pinging from the Oracle. Describe yourself and what your room looks like.
So Luca, as you mentioned, is a Leonin. He is a white bird, a big, giant man at the sides. They're two very thick purple left and right. He has a very stern, look on his face, like he looks seasoned, well-traveled. A scar on his right eye, right at the end of the eye, from, you know, many of his past battles. He's fairly a muscular looking Leonin. You know, he's not scrawny. You know, he's strong with it, and has the normal, you know, studded leather armor, just typical assassin. And he gets up out of his bed, and he grabs his equipment.
Oh, I guess I gotta make my way up to Oracle Mountain then.
And he'll head out.
All right. Within the same hall, simultaneously, as a ringing can be heard in the ear of another member of Fenix. Greco, you hear a message popping into your skull saying,
to all the heroes who can hear this, this is your Odious, the Oracle from Oracle Mountain, coming with a prophecy. Please make it here as fast as you can. The gods do not like to be kept waiting.
Ah, every time I get finished drinking the rum, and I think I can get some sleep. Damn. Fine, Fenix. Have it your way.
And a 5'2" satyr hops out of bed. You hear the clopping of his hoofed feet on the cold stone floor as he throws on his breastplate armor, grabs his backpack full of components, grabbing his lucky bone dice off of his nightstand, finally, as he gets to the door, slings his flame tongue sword over his shoulder and looks back into the dark room.
Maybe next time, my sweet, I'll get to sleep in ya.
And Greco makes his way.
Alrighty. As you all, both of you, enter your rooms, Greco, yours is actually on the tallest, the third floor, while on the second floor is where yours is located, Luca. You all start to make your way throughout the dark halls. You can hear the sounds of gambling and revelry throughout all the many different chambers and in the mess hall as well within this temple. Many people who are walking around, all different races. You see satyrs, humans, tritons, and so on and so forth walking by. All of them look like they have a chip on their shoulder as they go and give a look at you. It didn't seem that many of the people in Fenix's temple are very trustworthy. But they all trust in their god one way or another as you both make your way down the steps as it gets louder and louder. More people are on the first floor. As the two of you make your way to the front door, you lock eyes for a moment, seeing each of you with your backpacks ready to go.
Oh, Greco, I guess you were also called up by the gods.
Yes. Damn shame. I just came off a hot streak at the table. I was ready to...
myself.
You were having what?
I was having myself a cotton up.
Makes sense. Leonin and all.
Oh, I wonder what this new job is.
I don't know, but I'm pissed there's no more rum to go around to get me going on this one.
DM, on the way out of where we're at, is there anybody that has like a bottle of rum on the table?
Roll me a perception check. If you have dark vision, then...
I do have dark vision.
Okay, so you do it normal. It's pretty dark in here right now.
That is a 14.
14. Looking around, next to the large wooden doors to the right, there's about a 10-foot hallway that leads out into the larger mess hall or gathering area. And you kind of peer on over and see that on top of an end table, there seems to be a large bottle. One of the rogue-looking humans placed it down there before they shake their hands to go ready to throw some dice. And you can see you can easily snatch it up if you wanted to.
I would like to, please.
All right, roll a sleight of hand check. Or stealth. Yeah, sleight of hand, we'll keep on that. I'll give you an advantage because it is dark.
Ooh, thank you. Please. No! Well, that's better. 12?
12. No, that's not bad. Let me roll a perception check. And he is human, so he gets disadvantage on it. All right. You see that looking at a table, they're playing some type of dice game. Two of the people who are on the other side who are looking directly at you notice you as you go and slip and pick up the bottle of rum that's been placed on the table. They snicker and give you a wink and continue to play the dice.
I give him a nod and I immediately just hand the bottle to Greco.
Here you go for the road.
Ah, perfect. Thank you. What do you say we get out of here?
Yeah, let's not keep the guards waiting.
So you both grab the bottle. You grab your bottle of rum, grab your bags, open up the door, and push it open as a breath of fresh air blows in and the sun shoots down. And it's a little bit disorienting, just going from that kind of darkness to this bright light, but your eyes quickly adjust. It's busy in Camp Belephorin. Many warriors are running around training or purchasing items or doing whatever they need to do throughout the day as it's bustling. As you make your way onto the gravel road, you start to turn to the right, making your way up north, heading towards the high mountain that you can see with, from this distance, a small pantheon on top, knowing that is your destination as you together make your way. Inside the beautiful, luscious temple of Nylia, where every room is full of trees, every corner there's a rose bush where nature and fertility thrive. This is a four-story building. And resting in his large room, Evander, you hear a familiar ping in your head, ones that you've heard several times before as you were a seasoned adventurer, as you hear,
to all the heroes who can hear this, looks like we got another prophecy on the line, and we need you to come and complete it. Please make your way all the way up to Oracle Mountain while you receive said prophecy and be on your way. Remember, the gods don't like to be kept waiting.
As Evander, you awaken or prepare or ready yourselves for the morning, and you have been called again for a quest. Describe yourself and the room that you're in.
Sure, Evander is a Loxodon, but he is a woolly mammoth variety. He has a 7-foot-tall, stocky, powerful build frame. Very muscular, still lean for a Loxodon. He is overbearing compared to a human and elves, but thin compared to other Loxodon. He's the Jason Momoa of Loxodon, if you will. He has... thick big braids atop his hair that flow backwards, tied into a ponytail and down his back. He wears chain-linked armor that is woven with metal that is almost as if it was bark, though, from iron trees. And has this thick, weathered armor that he dons upon him. And in his case, he picks up his trusty longbow and plucks a few of his specialty arrows for this cause. You see him don his dark greens and deep brown robes and clothing as he prepares. And the last thing he puts on before he leaves are his trusty boots. With his gear fully prepped, Evander steps forth from his simple yet natural room into this great hall, and of course always stops by the great tree to offer a blessing before he goes. It is my honor to serve you, and I continue to watch these lands and these people. Blessings be upon us all. And then Evander kneels in front of this tree and then jumps 5, 10, 15, 30 feet into the air and high fives one of the branches up there. And you can see that there's little marks, little notches in this tree to sort of indicate his progress and growth over the years. And he always tries to beat his record, leaving a little notch. Landing, doof, sort of in a superhero pose. There's a soft thud, not very loud, but a deep rumble. There's a smile across his face and his trunk sort of wags happily as I head out the temple with my gear in tow.
Alrighty. You look back one last time and the many members who worship Nylea all give you a bow. Even one little dryad looking humanoid walks up, placing a wreath over your neck. Blessings be upon you for Nylea. She walks back before leaving.
I'll bow my head to allow her to place it upon me. And as I raise my head, I'll whisper a soft thanks. Blessings be upon you. Sweetest due to you, sweetheart.
She chuckles and walks away. And the sheer size between the two of you is great, but nevertheless, she smiles and walks away as you exit the building, going off into the day, witnessing the passerbys and the beauty and the excitement that is the Belefrin this morning. You turn to your right and start to make your way up to the Pantheon high atop Oracle Mountain. So, as you all begin to walk your way, eventually you hit the base of the mountain and begin trekking your way up. It's a steep climb, but a climb you've all made several times, so it's not too difficult. As the two of you, Luca and Greco, see from the other side of the mountain, about when you get about a quarter of the way up, a large elephant-looking creature garbed in the clothing of a Nylean worshiper. As opposite Evander, you see the two roguish-looking warriors of Fenix meeting you up the mountainside.
She tests me this day with Fenix. Pleasure! As I raise my trunk.
Oh, why
I walk up and shake his trunk, thinking that that's what he's trying to do with that. He might not.
I'll just go with it. He offers a trunk to you and then a hand to the other and goes to shake your hands at the same time.
I shake his hand.
It's nice to meet you.
Oh, is this the first time you think we're meeting? I've met you before. Don't you remember when I tossed you in jail when you were too drunk a few months ago?
That was a good night. Oh, I made a lot of gold that night. Hey, Luca.
I part-time for the city watch.
And I part-time for the city piracy.
I know, that's why she tests us this day.
I don't think we've met, friend.
I see you've gotten the call from the Oracles, too.
Yeah, funny, someone from Nylea's camp would get an invite to this.
Someone had to balance the scales, especially with the two of you.
I thought that was Luca's job.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I do what I can. Shall we get going?
Yes.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So you continue for about an hour. It's a long trek up the mountainside as you start to make your way up. Eventually, not too far in distance, about 100 feet, you can start to see the mountain reach its crest, and above it, the large, multi-storied pantheon that is where the oracles reside. You start to make your way up. eventually getting to the steps. The large steps that even dwarf you, Evander, with their size and their grandeur. As you pass through the white stone flooring and passed by the tall pillars and enter in to this ancient grotto where plants grow around the edges. The ground is made out of stone and dirt, and indirectly in the middle, you see there is a stone table where a man, a satyr, with ram-like curled horns, a white toga, and a gold and green kind of laurel around their head, turn to you with brown fuzz and fur around that look a little bit wild on the arms and legs that are showing between the toga.
Yes, finally, please, come in.
You must be Oracle Odious.
That I am. I see you got my call. Oh, good, it worked. Excellent.
Were you not expecting it to?
Sometimes, my magic can be a little finicky, but it seems to have worked, thank the gods.
Thank the gods.
It woke me up.
Oh, well, the gods don't like to, be kept waiting. Sleet, snow, shine, darkness, whatever, doesn't matter. When they call, they expect an answer.
So anyways, we're here.
That you are. Yes. And you step inside, the sunlight shining directly down. It's kind of dark around the edges, though the plants give a strange bioluminescence that make up the light. But the roof, you see, there is a small, probably about 10-foot hole where the sunlight is shining down directly on the middle stone table with altar, that was the word I'm looking for, where the stone altar is, where he's standing next to, giving him this strange kind of like holy looking glow. To the left of him, there's a whole wall full of scrolls, tablets, tomes, of the like, that he begins to walk on over as you step closer towards him.
Yes, so let me just grab the right prophecy. Not this one, as he goes and starts to pull them down, throwing them on the ground. No, this one's for the heroes. Oh, no, not that one either. Oh, wait, here it is. Thought I lost it there for a second, as the satyr hops on over, getting closer towards you, until he gets about 10 feet away. He grabs the scroll that's in his hand, thick papyrus, that seems to be wrapped up in a seal that he quickly breaks open with his nails that seem to be longer and sharper than normal, and it proceeds to pull it open, holding it our complete arms, like his wingspan apart, and staring at it.
One second, he goes into his left breast pocket, pulling out what looks to be some type of spectacles and putting it onto his eyes that rest on the brim of his nose as he goes, much better.
Okay. Ah, quite the interesting one here.
As he goes, closes his eyes, coughs, and then all of a sudden his cough sort of starts to turn into some type of strange rhythm.
Find the Book of Knowledge Bane. Seek guidance in the palace of the same name. Reach out to those in authority and be led to the site that holds your glory. Solve the riddle to locate the tome in the place of the hippodrome. The compass that points in one direction will only lead you to misdirection. Yeah. Follow the one with many faces. Retrieve the prize. Receive our graces. Have the tome in hand by next new moon, or forfeit their lives and seal their doom. Seal their doom. That's it.
And he closes it back up.
I'm seeing that you're a bard on the weekends then, huh?
Oh, I like to a little performance here and there. I feel like it spruces up the prophecy and all.
So we have to find a tome?
That's what it seems like. But, and he goes over towards the altar after closing the paper. I do have some things for you that the gods have sent to help you on your journey.
Here's, and he pulls out a sack of money that jingles. It's about 4,000, 3,000-ish gold, 1,500-ish for all of you, for you to use on your journey there. And then he pulls out another box, a crate, and puts it on top of the altar. And you hear the sound of clanging glass. These will help you as well. They are potions of superior healing given to you by the goddess Ephara. She is the deity that you will be serving today.
Thanks, Ephara. Blessings to you.
Praise be to Ephara, then.
Indeed. All right.
So you all gather your items, gather your money, as Odious Turn says, yes, you should know the drill by now. If you need to use the funds to purchase whatever you need over in Polyphilin Square, over at Hero's Way, and they'll be able to give you what you need. And, of course, I'm not sure exactly where you need to go, but the Pegasus will be able to lead you to your destination before heading back.
Fantastic. I'll carry this, and I'll grab the heavy crate and haul it around for us, if need be.
Oh, thank you so much, Amanda. Very kind.
No worries. I know that this is a burden for smaller folk.
As he says to, like, a 6'5".
I still look down upon you.
Yeah. It's true. I'm looking at you like, oh, I wonder if I could just hitch a ride on the Vanda.
Maybe if you pull your weight.
So, I guess we go to the Polis of Knowledge?
Do we have a map?
I sure hope you do. You shall have a map of the Great Theros. But if you need one, and he goes over to where all the scrolls were, starts throwing papers down until eventually grabbing one, he goes, here it is. And he goes and hands you, unfurls it, showing you the map of Theros, and then hands it to you.
Mm-mm. Akros is war. Setessa is nature. Mm-mm-mm. Which one's known for knowledge? I thought Miletus was known for knowledge.
I just know where the gold is.
So we're going to
seek guidance in the polis of the same name.
What if
find the book of knowledge bane? What's the antithesis of knowledge? Is it ignorance? Would that be the warmongers? Should we go to Akros? I'm not really good at this sort of thing. And just so you all know, my intelligence is an 8. So
is mine.
We're not the smartest group today.
And rounding out the group, I also have an 8 in intelligence.
They put three dumbasses in
three dummies. Three dummies in charge of a riddle. Oh my god.
This is great. This is going to be a two-parter.
I say that. I say, like, Akros is war. Isn't that the antithesis of knowledge? Ignorance and fighting?
Oh, what's an antithesis?
It's the opposite. It's a big word. Means opposite.
I mean, maybe.
Solve the riddle to locate the tome in the place of a hippodrome. Where's a hippodrome? Isn't there a hippodrome in New Lantern? And I'm assuming we're chatting as we're, like, walking down the mountain, right?
I assume so.
We, like, gathered our things because it was an hour hike up, so it's another hour walk down as we go to the market.
Where is it that we're at right now? In Stessa?
No, we're in,
You're in Belefrin, which is outside of Miletus.
Outside of Miletus, okay.
It's like where the top of the L is in Miletus, right? Like over there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe someone in the square might know.
I think that's a good idea.
I feel like Bane and Hippodrome might be the most important keywords in whatever regards it gets.
I don't really like books.
Yeah, no. Fuck reading, I hate that shit. Unless it's, you know, thieves' cunt.
I mean, I like some books, but I don't want to. I prefer the sword and the bow. Thinking is so hard. Let's go find some scholars.
Now, just wait a minute. What? I think it's talking about some sort of hippodrome related to Ephara.
Oh, so you think maybe in Miletus' harbor? DM, Imphara, we would know who the deity of Miletus is. Isn't it Imphara?
It's Imphara, yes.
So that might be mean her harbor, then.
Well, she would be the goddess of knowledge. So, knowledge bane, same thing, right?
Part of the riddle says reach out to those in authority. Who would be an authority for the myth?
Weren't you an authority person?
Yeah, I mean, I... You know.
Yeah, you work for the city guard, don't you?
Yeah, I'm one of the enforcers on the weekends. You know, I don't make no decisions, but I might be able to find some... find someone who has a little bit more information.
You have connections.
Yeah, I got a few.
Do we need to go to Odunos? It has the crypts.
Never been there.
The crypts of the lost are there. That the lost would be forgotten. It would be the bane of knowledge, right? I mean, that
find
makes sense
the
to me.
Book of knowledge bane. Seek guidance in the polis of the same.
Where is Odunos at?
It's north of the coast.
Glory soft. And it's a hippodrome. Hippodrome. Is there a hippodrome there?
I don't know if there's any hippos there at all.
No. It's like a theater.
I thought a hippodrome was like where the gladiators fought.
Yeah.
Mm.
Odunos. Seek guidance in the polis of the same name. Aduna. What polis are they talking about?
Would it be the Malit? City? The city of the dead?
The city of the dead. Whose polis is Adunos's under? Wouldn't it be under Akros's polis?
Adunos is his own polis.
Oh. I think we need to find out what are the names of legendary books. And then that will tell us which polis to go to. But since none of us are readers, it seems we can't identify any legendary books.
Well, can we identify a library? I could probably steal a book.
We have resources. You don't need to steal.
I mean, I know I don't need to, but I can. That's the point.
It might come in handy having an extra book with us. I know in a lot of those libraries, you can't take them out.
True.
If it comes to it.
What if...
It's for the mission.
What if we have to replace the Knowledge of Bane book with another book? We have a book on hand. Let's go to the library.
You're deviating from the Oracle.
Alright, so where do you guys want to head? So you definitely want to get to Bleffern Square to get provisions, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, we can say as you're talking, you make your way down, trying to decipher the strange riddle the gods has given you, making your way to Bleffern Square. There, the statues of all the main gods and goddesses are placed throughout as fountains as you make your way to this bazaar-like area, full of people doing shopping and selling and all of the sorts. If you wish to go to where the town's guard is, or garden, you could head there, or if you want to do any type of shopping, you can make your way. And we'll say you go to different shops and purchase all the items you wish to do along the way as you make your search to find more information on this quest. There's an assortment of uncommon and common items that you can choose from. Just go ahead and place them in your character sheet and deduct the price from the average cost.
Oh, I love this, Fletcher. They use the best bird's arrows. I'll take 3 of your finest. I mean 7.
Certainly, sir. As the one gentleman gives you the items after you purchase them.
You have braces? I didn't realize that they came back in stock. Last time I was here, I couldn't afford them, but I think I'll snatch these up as well as I start pulling out the gold for the bracers of archery and a few of the +1 and +2 arrows.
Okay. So you go ahead and look at some magical or enchanted arrows they have there. They are moderate price, some of them about 300 gold, for a little bit more here or there, but you go ahead and strike deals and get the items you want, and I will place those items within your character sheet and deduct the cost for you.
Have a good day, sir. May the gods be with you.
Also with you, have you heard of the Book of Knowledge Bane?
Book of Knowledge Bane? Why, is it some type of artifact or something?
Yeah, we're thinking so. Do you know of any? You see, I'm not really a reader.
He goes ahead and ponders for a moment. I'm going to roll a history check for him to see if he knows anything. Well, there's a legend I think I've heard once. This human gentleman says as he walks up wearing a kind of brown toga.
The goddess of Farah, she has two books. The Book of Knowledge and the Book of Insanity. Both work hand in hand. Legend has it that the Book of Knowledge will grant you that, but the Book of Insanity will impose that upon those around you. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Much appreciate the information, good sir. I'll flick him another gold coin.
Oh, thank you. He catches it.
Is the Book of Knowledge being the Book of Insanity?
I would assume so. That makes the most sense. Seek guidance in the polis of the same name. So we now know that it is Amphara's books, for sure. I propose we go to Miletus.
Are you sure they don't mean a polis of insanity?
Oh, you're a smart one there! And I take my trunk and, like, pat him on the back a few times. Doof, doof, doof. That's a good catch. Well,
that sounds like, I don't... That sounds like Mogus.
Mogus, ooh, he's a rough one. I don't know if my sway with the local authorities there will hold much weight. Miletus, I know a few people, but I have not been up to Undunos.
And you would all have common knowledge of, if you're talking about Undunos, it's forbidden. It's not forbidden. It's forbidden for normal people to go there, though, like, if diplomats or high-powerful people need to travel, they will. It's a city of undead, and...
Is it, like, hostile undead, or is it, like, under the control of some power that, like, what's the common knowledge of it?
The common knowledge is that it's under the power of undead. There are living people who are there, but it's kind of like a dark and desolate place, and there are people, the returned ones, they're called, harbor there, and people stay away from that area. It's dark juju there, but they are a city, and they have many citizens, so they're just as powerful as Akros, Miletus, Satessa, etc.
So it is like a city. It's just like a creepy, weird city.
Yeah, think of like Undercity from World of
War. Like the Undercity, okay. Okay, cool.
But obviously, if a human walks into Undercity, they'll get eaten by a bunch of zombies, so... Or yeah. Undead people.
Well, if that's the case...
Shall we, possibly visit a library, then? Might be able to find more information. This Book of Insanity.
I think we should go to the House of Amphara. Perhaps we can seek knowledge from those whom worship her directly.
Whatever we do, we should do something. You know what I mean?
All right. I think... Is there a library in our camp?
Yes, actually the best library is, then, in fact, in the House of Amphara. As she is the goddess of knowledge, she has her worshippers harbor the rarest and best books within the entire camp. And if you wish to get and learn any information, people go there. They can be a little... stuck up.
I see. Okay, so then, would we know that the library is in the Amphara house?
Yeah, yes, yes.
So then I think we're aligned. The library is in the Amphara temple.
Lead the way, friend.
Oh, all right. I probably do know the way best, since I've patrolled these streets.
Okay, so you go buy your several items. You can go ahead and place the items that you decided beforehand into your character sheets. And deduct the gold from it appropriately. As you go and make your way throughout Camp Alepharin, heading to the west, where the camps for the greater gods are located. Some of you have yours in there, some of you do not. But you make your way through the winding paths, passing by all the other members of Camp Alepharin, until you reach a large pantheon-like building, several tiers, about 5 tiers tall. There are windows lining each floor, as it is completely white, and a symbol of the Miletian tome of knowledge on top of it, what looks like a gigantic book with strange writing, not in any language that you would understand, though you know it's possibly celestial, the language of the gods. And it almost feels alive as you look at it. The magic is just seeping off of this large multi-story building as several members, worshippers, walk down the steps, clad in all white and blue togas and outfits, carrying books of the sorts and quills and other types of scholarly equipment. As you make your way up the steps and enter into the hallowed halls of Afara, a gnomish woman, dressed with a white and gold toga, walks on over, grabbed around her right shoulder down to her left hip.
Hello! Welcome to Temple of Phara. How can I...
And then her look... She wasn't looking at you at first. She looks up at all of you, and she's... All of you are much taller than she is. Well, probably not Greco, but the two of you, Luca and Evander, are towering over her. As she looks up at you, and her face goes from a smile to just a look of disgust, as her gnomish blue eyes just kind of quiver a little bit and looks away.
Welcome to Afara's temple. You must be worshippers of Fennex, I see, and Nylea. I can smell her on you. Welcome.
Yes, don't lump me in with them.
But do, because we're all working together.
Yes, but do.
A pleasure. What can I do? What brings you here?
Afara sent us on a quest. We need guidance.
Afara sent you on a quest?
Yes, yep. He did. Are you jealous? Here, look at the scroll. Look at the scroll. And I'll, like, put it in her face with my trunk, and I'll, like, wave it in her face so I can have it unfurl.
She puts her hands up with a look of disgust and turns away.
The gods work in mysterious ways. Sure. All right, Fennexians and Nylians.
My name is Evander.
Evander. My apologies.
And I'm Greco.
Greco.
I'm Luca.
Oh, and Luca. Well, I'm sure you were chosen for a reason, and I will not try to decipher her lady's thoughts. Any case, what do you need? Do you need information? Do you wish to go to the Great Library of Afara?
Well,
both.
Both. You see, what's the best way to put it for you? Us big dummy, you smart people, can you tell us what this means? We think we need to get the bad book of Afara, but we don't really worship her, so...
You're right, you don't, so I can see where your conundrum comes from. Okay, let me see here. Find the Book of Knowledge Bane. See, Gaius and Apollos have the same name. Well, that's obvious. Knowledge Bane is the Book of Insanity. One a pair, protected by Afara.
But what is the book's name?
Oh, it's quite the Book of Insanity is the name. And if you're looking for a palace of the same name, well, you want to go to the Place of Insanity. The only thing I can think of is Udonos.
Oh, you're right! Honk honk. I'll, like, pull my trunk out and hit him on the shoulder. And be like, you're right!
Ah.
I was going to send us to Miletus, could you believe?
I knew I'd be right.
Yes, I could. Well, reach out to those in authority and be led to the site that holds your glory. Well, your glory is probably the quest itself. Reach out for the authority. Well, Udonos does have the returned ones, and they are kind of the army of Udonos. I mean, they are dark and evil, but, you know, we are... But Campbell Efferin, there is no place too deep, no peak too high that we won't traverse for our gods. So, you probably will need to go there and seek out whatever they use for authorities there to find some hint. But it's quite dangerous. I'm sure you're up for the task.
And she eyes you up and down.
It was very fortunate for us to meet you. This confirms our suspicion.
Well, if you're going to Udinos, I suggest you probably put on some disguise. They hate living creatures. Though, for whatever reason, they love worshippers of Fennex.
Oh,
so that we'll be fine! Perfect!
We're good!
Yay!
Something about Fennex promising that when their souls return, they will not go to the underworld or something like that.
Okay.
It's true. It's what we all have to look forward to.
Great, great. Do you know how we could hide ourselves to the undead or appear like we are undead?
Well, are any of you good with a disguise kit? Or you could just put on a cloak and hope no one looks too closely. Or magic.
But do you have... That's what I'm saying. Do you have magic? Could you magic us?
Nothing that will last that long.
Ugh.
It is a few days' trip to get to Udinos, even on the Pegasus. So I best you just make sure you're as stealthy as possible.
Oh, okay. No problems there. I'll have to stop back at my treehouse and get my bigger cloak then, but I think I'll be okay.
Just try not to seem like you're living. They hate people who breathe air. Or so I've heard.
What do they breathe?
They don't. Most of them are dead. Yes, there are some living people there. Perhaps you can maybe be like one of their slaves that they use, of the living, from what I've heard. Much information on Udinos is very... it's scarce, even amongst those of Afara.
All right. Is there anything else you wish to research, Luca? Does it give him an eyeing look?
No, not at all. I mean, I believe we've got the information we need.
This sort of goes against our nature, but I do think we best should pay respects while we're here. After all, it is her, Afara's quest. Could you lead us to the altar?
Oh, why, yes, it's the least you can do. Come, come this way. Please wipe your feet and your hands. Don't touch anything. It's quite clean.
I'm gonna take, the bottom of her, like, robes and, like, rub my hands when she says wipe your hands.
What? My? Oh.
I didn't have anything, I'm sorry.
Just don't. She snaps her finger, casting a spell as it wafts over her clothes, creating a prestidigitation effect that cleans it. Ugh! And all of you, too! She snaps her fingers and does the same thing to all of you. Right this way. Pay your respects at the altar of Afara. Come
now. I feel so clean. It's so weird.
I can clean myself, lady.
But you don't, right?
I don't, no. But I can.
She makes her way over to the front. Keep up! And as you go and travel with her, you see there are several other scholars looking there, and they all look up at you, pull from their studies, and kind of give you, like, snotty looks as they hold up their nose and turn away from you.
I want to steal something. The way these people are looking at me.
There are beautiful tapestries of the goddess Afara and of a woman spreading her hands out as people with books are learning, writing down the words that this prophet is speaking. There's vases and tablets all around, and stone statues, and everything is kind of white and blue. The floors are carved of marble, marble tiles, and almost slippery with how smooth they are as she goes and trots her way. There are several doors on the left and right, and staircase made of the same material that go up to all of the floors, but she's leading you down a long corridor on the first floor. Passing by other, like, enclaves and places where you see people are studying. And the light just hits perfectly, giving this weird divine light within the first floor of Afara's temple. Until eventually, you do make it to the end of the hall, where there's a door that she opens up. And in it, it opens up to a large kind of 50 by 50 circular room with an opening to the star, like a skylight. So you can feel the outside breeze, and a huge statue about 50 foot tall of Afara, pouring, it seems to be a decanter of water down into, a fountain.
There. On your knees and pray and ask for forgiveness. I mean, give her your thanks.
I do not kneel before other gods, unfortunately, but I will bow my head in respect.
What he said. That's what I'm doing, too.
All right, you heathens, I'll show you how it's done. And I'm going to step forward, getting too close to this altar. And then I'm also going to put my hands on it and, like, touch the relics and, like, the carvings and be like, ugh, ugh, so much unnecessary construction. The beauty is lost in this place, but I understand the importance of civilization. Some people need places to sleep, and I respect you. Today, Amphara, but I will trek through my home and the woods so your cities remain safe. And I'll tap the altar and walk away.
That was a lot. I walk up, Luca walks up, bows his head and says, yeah, we're gonna go ahead and do this for you. Thank you for your protection, I guess. And then turns around, walks away.
I quickly refreshed my memory out of character at how much Nylea hates Amphara, so that's why I was purposely trying to disrespect the altar a little bit while also offering thanks and praise. So that was purposely disrespectful while also offering thanks. So take that for what it is.
I want to see... I want to see how disgusted this will be.
You turn and look at the gnome who's standing there. She's already been giving Vander kind of a side eye and just has a look of disgust.
I never... We're in the presence of Our Lady. We're in the presence of Our Lady. Calm down. Good thoughts. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. All right. Nylean and Fenixians, you can head off now. I feel like you're sullying the great lady with your mere breath. Please, please. Is there anything else you need assistance with, or can you now leave our temple?
One last thing. Thanks very much. And I'm going to reach into my pocket, and I'm going to pull out some of, like, the dirt and crud, and I'm going to just place it at the foot of the altar and say, you need a little nature inside of this sterile environment.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
As she begins to blow, and then, like, the breath becomes more powerful as, like, a gust effect begins to blow.
I'm going to wink at Luca, like, now's the time to take something.
I steal the nearest something that looks valuable.
Okay.
Come on, let's go.
Roll a sleight of hand check. See what you grab.
Do I give an advantage for causing a distraction?
Sure.
Sleight of hand at advantage. Come on, baby. Hey, natural 20 for a 26.
26, okay. You quickly see that next to the... There have been offerings that were given for Afara, our offerings of knowledge. To the left, there is what looks to be a gold pendant with the symbol of a book engraven on top of the pendant. And you go quickly grab it and put it in your pocket.
Correction, there was a gold pendant. As I'm about to walk out, I flex the claws on my right hand, and I'll say to this woman,
the last person that looked at me the way you've been looking at me lost their eyes with these.
Oh.
And I'll walk away.
That a threat? I might never. Oh!
As she goes ahead, and once you all leave the altar, she goes and slams the door behind you.
Get out, please. It's just we have duties to tend to. Please, only worshippers of Afara. Shoo, shoo, shoo. And she begins pushing you out as you all get rushed out of the temple.
Finally, getting up to the front door, and the door slammed behind you.
I think that went well.
I think it went excellent. Hey,
could have been a little bit smoother, but here we are.
What do you mean? I came out with a gold pendant out of there.
But we didn't find out anything about this hippodrome. We might need to know what we're going up against when we get there.
Oh, we're gonna find out about the hippodrome once we get to Ordnance.
I'm not racing any hippos, okay?
That's not what a hippodrome is, dummy. It's a place where you fight. It's like a coliseum of sorts.
Luca, roll me a d6.
Uh-oh. One.
One, okay. Give you plus one to make it a two. So you get two piety points for stealing. Fenix graces you for... You hear the laughter of your guide within your ears, like a small little chuckle. And as you do, you feel a connection greater to your god. And you receive two more additional piety points, giving you a total of 7, I believe, now?
Yeah, because I was at 5.
Okay, all right. 7 doesn't get you anything, but keep it up, and you might earn something else. Okay. So, what is the plan? You can hop on the Pegasus to go to Udonos or anywhere else you like. Though it is, you do know that is the night of the new moon, and you have 7 days to complete this if you go by the last line of the prophecy.
What if you go by the 10-day calendar?
Unfortunately, they don't follow the 10-day. That's why, Harold.
A cloak of elven kind is an uncommon item. Could we potentially run by the shops to see if we could pick one of those up? Since they're good, they can walk through the city. I need to hide myself a little better.
All right, we'll say this. Odds are evens, and if you get one or the other, and you roll any die, and whatever one you call, if it lands on that, you'll have it.
Okay. I'll say even.
Ooh.
Yay, 10!
All right. So you can find a cloak, but do you have enough money to purchase the cloak?
I had 200 gold. Is that enough for it?
Cloak of Elvenkind. Is that an uncommon item?
It's uncommon.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
If you wouldn't have had enough, we would have had a gold pendant to sell, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's right. Right? Oh, my F. Okay, so then I should be totally, totally fine for, like, stealthing through the city, so.
Okay. So you, I would say that you are broke now.
I'm broke now.
Okay. So you pick up your last cloak. So happened the one of the shopkeeps had one from elves, or just say from fey creatures that had made their way into Blefarin and gave a thanks from another party that had aided them. All right. Is there anything else you wish to do? Where is your, or do you wish to go to your next destination, which I'm hearing is Udonos?
Yeah.
Okay. So you all make your way over to the Pegasus stable as a short satyr there is tending to the horses. He looks out of breath as he's running back and forth. See, they seem to be anxious as you hear, "Settle down, please. Settle down. Calm down. Come on, Nightfire. It's okay. It's okay. It'll be fine. We have customers. We come to the Belefarin Pegasus stable. How can I help you?"
"We need to rent 3 Pegasus to get to Odinus.
It's for a quest.
For the gods and all. You know how that goes."
"Oh, but of course, yes, yes. And of course, being warriors of Belefarin, they will be able to drop you off at any one location before heading back. That's not too far. Where are you looking to go?"
Udonos, yes.
Udonos, yeah.
"I'm sorry, did you say Udonos?"
"Indeed.
Yes."
"The closest to Udonos that you'll be able to get would be about half a day away. It's a dark and mysterious place and evil, and, well, our Pegasus don't like to be around there. Isn't that right, Starstreak?" "Oh, yes." So,
insight check.
You go ahead and roll insight check.
He's fucking lying through his teeth. I guess I believe him. 10?
10? Yeah, it seems like he's telling the truth.
"Well,
that shouldn't be too bad. You say about a half a day's travel from the city?"
"Yes, yes."
"So, a little north of Daedra Harbor." "A little north of Daedra Harbor."
"Even closer than that, about a little west of Faragax Bridge."
"Oh, wow.
Actually,
that's fine, I guess. I'd prefer to go by sea, but..."
"Same.
Beggars can't be choosers."
"You would waste most of the time on the water. You're insane."
"It's... you wouldn't understand, you landlubber. It's different."
"We can travel faster by boat."
"The Pegasus would take us in a day. Boats would be at least 3 or 4.
"Yeah, but it's 3 or 4 days out at sea, mate. Oh, it's hard to explain."
"And to keep these hooves on the ground. You savvy?"
"Maybe we'll take a boat back, but..."
If each of you are taking your own Pegasus, we have Starstreak, Nightfire, and Daywalk. They can go ahead and shoot across, and they'll get you to Faragax in about, let's see now, 2 days' travel.
Luca walks up to Nightfire.
"I think I'll be taking this one."
"Daywalker speaks to me."
"All right, Starkiller, let's go."
The Pegasus looks angry at the mispronunciation of her name.
It's star streak, you know, like a streak of in the sky, because she's that fast. Anyway, certainly, please, whenever you're ready, you can hop onto your Pegasus and make your way there.
All right, and Luca will get on his Pegasus. Attempt an animal handling.
All right, go ahead and roll an animal handling, see how much your animals like you.
Not a lot.
You try to get onto the Pegasus, and you're on Nightfire?
Yeah.
You go on Nightfire. Nightfire is kind of like dark, like kind of a dark purple and black shadings going from the top to the bottom, resembling the night sky. As you hop onto the back of her, she kind of buckles up and down, and you hold on tight, but you manage to, because you kind of push her, kind of knee her in the side, but she eventually calms down as the attendant goes and goes, "Whoa,
be gentle, please. Nightfire can be a little temperamental."
"Oh, that's great. I love that."
"And what about you?" As I get on to Starstreak.
Roll animal handling check. Everybody roll animal handling checks. Yep.
Oh, baby. That is a natural one for Greco.
Effing up Starstreak's name, she kind of pushes you off of me, like you get on top of her and immediately she does not like the feel of the rider and you fall off, landing onto the ground, taking 5 points of falling damage, of bludgeoning damage as you fall to the ground. With a 9, Evander, it's rough. You're heavy and large and you're bigger. You're about the same size as this. And Daywalker kind of looks and goes with a little nervous look in her eyes as you get on top of her and she kind of pushes down a little bit, but she kind of pushes herself back up and like stands triumphantly, barely managing to keep you at bay.
Evander, you might need 2 Pegasus to fly over to.
"Oh, stop. I'm only 320.
Only?
"She's got it," as I use my trunk to tap her, like, breast and chest. "You got it."
She seems worried. You can sense a bit of worry for coming from the Pegasus, but nevertheless, she does have you. And she prepares to... She stretches her wings a little bit in preparation to fly off.
"Come on, Greco. Get on your Pegasus again."
"I'm trying."
You're eventually able to get on it, Greco, after kind of holding your back from the falling down to the ground. As Starstreak allows you to mount her.
"Well then, just say your destination's name and fly off. And happy travels, heroes. May the gods be with you always."
"And all that thank with you. Yes, of course."
"All right, let's go, Daywalker. To Faragax Bridge."
"No, we're going to Odin's."
"Are you an idiot?" As I fly away.
As soon as you say Faragax Bridge, the Daywalker spreads her beautiful, majestic orange and yellow wings and push off, shooting off like a comet into the sky, going to the direction that has been told to her.
I say Odin's, because that's where we're supposed to go.
Okay. The purple and black Pegasus spreads her wings before pushing off and then, like a streak in the night sky, heads off towards the direction that you have given her.
"Somewhere between those two. Let's go, Starstreak."
We're all going to end up in different locations.
Starstreak shakes her head and just shoots off. Starstreak being a weird rainbow colorings of purple, green, blue, white, and just shoots off in a technicolor shot into the sky as you all fly off to all the directions that you have given these Pegasus.
Is it? Did we fly off in 3 like different angles?
Slightly different angles.
Yeah.
He was like, "The horses can't take you there. You have to be west of Faragax Bridge."
"That's where they're going to drop us off when we say Odinus."
"That's not what he said to me. That's not what I heard."
So you all start to fly off. It's a 2-day travel, and the Pegasus do need to rest at some point, but they fly fast and furious.
After I'm going to say to mine as we're flying on the first day, be like, "Can we regroup with the other Pegasus for this first night?"
You're not sure what that means. Let's speak it.
I'm just going to say it and hope she gets it.
As you continue to fly, the sun quickly turns into night as it begins to set. And the Pegasus, they descend slowly, finding an empty ridge near the side of Data River. You all at three different portions, but still within kind of like a mile radius of each other. Because you can see the streaks of light as you're going at the same speed as each other. You can see in the distance. Evander, you land first as somewhere between the next to Titan Stairs, next to the Data River. Daywalker lands at a ridge, and you see another streak continuing, and about a mile away, the Pegasus lands as Luca, you land a little bit, about a half mile north, a mile north of where Evander landed, and Greco, closer towards the plane, you land kind of inside of like a little cave area. As you are about, and then you all can see where each other landed, where it is, so you all know that you're some distance apart, since you all gave different locations.
Once I've landed, because you said we saw them, right?
Yeah.
And I was the first to land.
Mm-hmm.
Would I know whom was the next closest person?
No, you have no idea. You can make your way there. It'll only take you about like 20 minutes.
Okay, after I've landed, and I've sort of watched them, but they've lost my sight, I'll say to Daywalker, don't worry, I'll find them. And I'm going to pull out my longbow, and I'm going to pull forth one of my arrows, and I'm sort of going to flick it behind me, almost as if I'm dipping it into something, but I'm just flicking it into the air. And you see a sort of dark green and golden hue sort of envelop the arrow, and I'm going to shoot it up into the air, and I'm going to use my seeking arrow ability and fire it at one of my allies. And it says, using divination magic, you grant this arrow the ability to seek its target. When you use this option, you don't make an attack roll. Instead, you choose a creature you've seen in the last minute. The arrow flies to that creature, moving around corners, ignoring objects, including three quarters cover and half cover. And it says, if I hit the creature, I know its exact location.
Okay. Who are you firing
at? I was going to try and target the next closest, like, one that I saw sort of, like, dipping. So, you said we were flying and we sort of saw each other. So, whichever horse's color scheme I knew was landing, because we saw that they each had a different one, the next closest person, my character would have known. But I don't know which one that one is.
All right, that was Luca, so that would be the purple and black one.
I will fire my seeking arrow towards Luca. And then I'll need him to make a DC 12 dexterity.
As you land, as you all begin to land at your own spots and kind of search for where each other are, you close your eyes and focus on Nylia. Concentrating your arrow, you fire it in that direction as the wind begins to blow and get carried towards the location of the person that you're trying to seek, which is Luca. Luca, you've exited the sleeping area and begin to, you saw where everyone landed as well, and you also begin to kind of seek and look around. Go ahead and roll me a perception check. A regular perception check, Luca.
23.
Okay. Being the adventurer, the sailor you are, as you kind of inspect your surroundings, after about 5 minutes, you kind of hear something fluttering in the wind as the wind blows. As you kind of trying to focus on where that sound's coming from, you make way around one of the banks near the river, and see kind of inside of a tree, it looks to be an arrow, its feathers fluttering, and it would be impossible for you to hear, but for some odd reason you can focus on the sound of the feathers of the arrow, the tail arrows hitting the wind. As you walk up towards it, you go ahead and notice pulling out, and then the arrow itself looks familiar. As you grab it, you can, at the same time as you grab it and pick it up out of the tree, Evander, you get a sense, like a flash, of the river, a rock, and a tree, and the looking of a feline Leonin grabbing your arrow. And you can surmise the pathway to get to that location.
Ah, that's where they are. Okay.
Fuck is this?
Head this direction, Daywalker.
As he begins to just gallop, tired from all the flying, he just makes his way, but he can get there fast. She's a very fast steed on foot or in air. As you look up, after a few minutes of you inspecting your surroundings, Luca, you see off in the distance a dust cloud being picked up, And as you squint your eyes, still keeping your same 23, you can notice a large elephant man making his way over to you.
Oh, it's Evander. All right.
Oh, you found my arrow. Thanks.
No worries. Here you go. I wonder what Greco is.
Greco, you've landed into more closer to where Udinos would be, in the middle of the plain, not too far away from where you saw two light streaks fade away behind you as you've gone a little bit further than where they are. You can choose to go back there, or you can rest from where you are for the evening.
Has it already gotten dark?
Yes, it's dark.
I was gonna say, DM, since we noticed the streaks go past us and we know we're going in that direction, it would make more sense for us to head to Greco. No?
Yeah, it's up to you.
So I would tell Evander,
I believe I saw him land a little further ahead. Should probably make our way to him, no?
Yes, we should regroup this evening.
Alright, let's go, Nightfire. Think you got a little bit of energy in you to get there?
You get the feeling she seems to be a little perturbed, but nevertheless picks you up as the both of you head into that direction. And doesn't, like I said, doesn't take you that long, about 10 minutes or so to make it off as you get closer in the direction of Udinos. And you as well, Greco, as you're making camp, see dust clouds heading your way. Peeking over the horizon, you can tell that it's an elephant and another smaller creature that you can't really see from that distance, but you can assume it's probably... Oh, actually, no, Luca, you're large, so you can see the elephant and the cat making their way to you.
Okay. In the meantime, I will just start making camp then, I guess. I'll get a fire going. I'll get my rations out, get them starting to roast a little bit. Give a couple apples to Starstreak as like a peace offering.
She accepts, nuzzles at you slightly. And then eventually you all meet up together at the camp that Greco has created for you.
Oh, great. Got a camp started.
Nice setup.
I should have bet you all that I would have got here first. Seems I did make it the furthest. What do you say? Tomorrow we make another wager, see how far we can get? Who can get there first?
Let's say the same thing, though. It's a glare at Luca.
We're going to Odin's. Why would you say anything?
Because he said we couldn't go to Odinus. He said we had to go to Faragax Bridge.
No, he said that the Pegasus don't like going to Odinus, so they're going to drop us halfway there.
You're going to just let the Pegasus decide where it wants to go instead of staying at a specific location?
They're absolutely capable of making a decision like that.
Then you better give them the directest, exact place... Drop me off at the same place you're dropping them off on the way to Odinus, please.
Seems like it worked out fine either way, like it did today.
You're capable, aren't you, Nightfire? As I give Nightfire an apple as well.
She takes it, and all the three Pegasides look at each other. And they look at it, you all three of you. And they're just kind of after finishing their snacks and make their way over, and seem to be in some type of kind of conversation with each other.
Damn, I wish I could understand them.
But the night continues on. Is there anything you wish to do before bed?
I speak to Starstreak in Sylvan, apologizing for my rudeness. But I also tell Firestreak? What was Luca's?
Nightfire.
Nightfire, that Luca is very unappreciative. I'm going to be a jokester in this aspect of it.
That is true.
Okay. She understands and gives you a nay of acknowledgement. Kind of looks on over, and both horses look on over at Luca before looking back at each other. Okay.
I would just like to do a quick perimeter check to make sure that there's nothing that noticed us landing.
Certainly, we're on a perception check.
Are we near any trees? Like, is our camp under a tree?
No. So the tree, as you get closer to Ferberos, the kind of like the area of Phoborus, you see things are dying, and so it's still grass and things there, but in terms of trees, no, nothing that would be like a large
tree. Is there like a plateau or like a hill that's sort of in the area that we could go to get a vantage point?
You are currently on a hill, plateau.
There. Oh, okay. So we have a good vantage point for keeping watch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So a 12.
I'll take the first watch after we finish our rations.
So Luca with a 12. It looks safe. There's no other creatures around. No dust clouds of anything. Centaurs are said to be roaming this area a lot, but also other Leonin who are in packs. But so far, nothing can be seen. So you all prepare for bed with Evander taking the first watch, and then there's three watches. So I'm assuming each of you will take a watch. If Evander's taking the first, who's taking the second? Okay.
I'll take the last watch.
Got it. The watches go by, and I'll need... First, Evander, roll me a d6.
Six.
Quiet night. Your watch goes by with no troubles at all as you wake up Luca for his...
Catnap's over. Mm-hmm. You feel like a doof, a thud as I sit down and put my feet and hands in a meditative stance.
Okay. All right.
All right, Luca. Roll me a d6 as you start your watch.
Six.
Another quiet night. Another quiet few hours. No problems as you feel yourself getting tired and you go to wake up Greco for the final watch.
Oh, Greco, get up. It's your turn.
Oh, hush. Do you... Fuck, never mind. Where am I? Oh, that's right. I'll watch.
Okay. And Greco, the final roll to see if you... What kind of night you have. 1d6, please. Okay, a 2. The night is quiet, Greco, as you begin to watch, but you keep an eye out, trying to see if you notice anything. Go ahead and roll me a perception check.
It's an 11.
An 11. The wind begins to blow. Chill. Strange chill. You're entering into the edge of the land of Phoboris, where the undead is said to walk, near the crypts of the lost in Odinus. You're on edge. You begin to look around, and as it gets to the end of your watch, you hear the wind pick up like it's a heavy breeze. You guys are in kind of like a little a safe area blocked by rocks, but nevertheless, it creates a little funnel that rustles your clothes, Greco, and your hair. As you peer over, as the sun is beginning to rise now, but it's still dawn, like right before dawn, and a little bit of silver light reveals what looks to be a dark shadow, a large dark shadow quickly making its way over towards you.
Everyone wake up. Wake up! Evander! Luca! Catnap over!
I quickly stand up, pick up my bow,
and I get my knock an arrow. And I get my sword ready.
I get up, put on my hoodie, and I stay low to the ground.
Okay. It doesn't seem to be heading towards you, but it is heading in your general direction. As it starts to form what looks to be like a dark shadow cloud. The cloud stretches, becoming almost like a humanoid-like body with arms and legs, though it's still a cloud itself, so any other features are hard to see. As it stretches up about 15 feet, blowing its way across the land. It's not, like I said, it's not coming towards you. You can possibly hide if you want to blow past. If not, but you'll have to roll a stealth check. If not, you can take the... doesn't seem to have noticed you. You can take the initiative and attack it. Or like, go to do something with it, though it does look ominous and is heading towards you, and then looks like it may go past you, but the choice is yours.
Being that I am already a rogue, would actually hide.
Okay. All right, roll me a stealth check.
I would too. I'd like to sort of, as I see him getting into more advantageous position, I'd like to like jump backwards and put my back up against the wall.
Okay, an 11. All right. Greco, are you doing the same, or are you...
Yeah, I'll add to the stealthiness.
All right, yeah. Group stealth check. We have Vander with a 24 and Greco with a 20. Okay. The wind howls even stronger as you all find points between rocks and stone where you can make yourselves hidden. Eventually, about 30 feet away from you, the wind picks up heavy. You barely are able to keep yourselves hidden and keep yourself grounded to not be blown away by the thick force of this gale, as what looks to be a black, shadowy, thick cloud giant with glowing red eyes shifts back and forth as if scanning the area. I'm going to roll it a perception check versus the average. It turns its head to the left. It turns its head to the right and looks towards the enclave where you guys are. It then quickly turns around as if it noticed something and heads off in the other direction, blowing like the wind further as the wind begins to die down till it becomes nothing but a speck in the distance.
What the fuck was that?
The hell should I?
I don't know.
Have I ever heard of anything like that?
You can roll me a history check.
Oh, brother. Wish me luck. 8.
No. Nah, it doesn't ring a bell. Alright.
Alright, I think we got about one more hour of sleep. And
at this point, you all completed your long rest. You can rest a little bit more if you want. If not, you can hop onto your Pegasus and continue to go. Hopefully this creature will not find you again.
I say we get some distance between us and that thing.
I agree. Let us go.
Did you get enough rest, Nightfire?
As I try to pet Nightfire.
Okay. You go ahead and pet Nightfire, and she seems to be... She was on edge. They all were on edge, but have calmed down now that the wind has stopped howling. They were also being stealthy, afraid of what it was, and she nuzzles you for comfort.
Oh.
Okay. You all gather your things and mount your Pegasides and call out where you would like to go next.
What was the name of the people we had to go see?
The Return.
Let's say the Camp of the Returned in Odinos.
I don't know if that's too much. How about just Odinos and we all land near each other?
Nala's arrow guide us. All right.
Odinos.
I say it's in like...
Odinos.
Odinos.
Okay. And they each spread their majestic wings and fly off in a like V-like formation, switching every so often the leader as you make your way together towards Odinos. Once again, it takes about another day's travel, though, as the sun rises and then it sets. Because these Pegasi can go for the entire day, as long as you are able to stay 8 hours on a Pegasus, which is very comfortable. You land about a few hours west of Faragax Bridge. Here, the land seems to be more desolate than it did before. The grass and trees that you saw before are now mere figments in the back of your mind, as it's now covered with desolate hills, sand, and dead grass. The bodies and carcasses of animals can be seen every so often as you land in the night. You can feel a dark aura and a cold chill go down your spines as they find you a safe area about half day's travel away from Odinos. Too far for you to see at this point, but you did get a glimpse of the coastal city of the dead in the air before you landed, as the Pegasus look at you, give a bow with their wings down to their sides, and fly off back to where they were. But back to Miletus.
Right.
Safe travels home.
I guess we hoof it from here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It is nighttime. Though you can continue to walk for half a day and then rest, or you can rest now and continue your half a day travel in the morning.
I think it might be more beneficial to use the nighttime to move.
You're not worried about the whole land of the dead thing?
And then we'll be showing up to a camp of as strangers in the middle of the night. What if we're attacked? As much as I don't want to rest in these lands, I think we should.
All right. Well, if the consensus is to rest, I'll rest. Sure, Cloak of Night would be better for movement since we are on foot.
It's very hard for me to see.
Same.
Oh, all right.
Unless we want a fire to give away our position.
No, I guess in that case it would be better to rest. You guys not blessed with the vision of the dark.
Unfortunately, I don't have cat's eyes.
I'll take first watch.
I'll take the second watch then.
I'll round us out then.
Alrighty. So in the safe area, you go ahead and make your camp, and each of you take your watches individually, keeping a close eye out on the distance to see if any other weird creatures or an undead that has been spoken of appear. And you do all complete another long rest, day 2 of your 7-day quest, with no issues And as you wake up when the sun rises, it seems like even here the sun itself is a little dull. Not as bright as it was back in the Miletus area, or next to Akros. As you gather your things and head west towards Odonos. Hours pass as you make your way throughout the desolate land. As off into the distance, you can see what looks to be not only a large city, a necropolis, if you will, made out of what you could tell is like bones and skulls. Large as it is across, you can hear the sounds of the water crashing across the edge of the land. About half a mile, close enough where you could see, before that, towards that direction, is what looks to be a large camp. And several figures are seen walking around inside of this camp, made about surrounded by what looks to be a thick wooden wall. And as you get closer towards it, and before you get any more, there's where we will take a break.
Yay!
Ooh. We made it.
We made it, right?